Ekatra Foundation presents the Ekatra Dialogue, an exploration of the world's greatest thinkers and ideas. This audio summary has been prepared with the help of Ekatra AI.
Welcome to the Deep Dive. So glad you could join us. Today, we're taking a really interesting look into a summary from the Ekatra Foundation. It covers Hillary Clinton's memoir, Hard Choices.
That's right. A book that honestly gives you this incredible inside view.
Absolutely.
I mean,
Hillary Clinton, her background is just immense, isn't it? Yale Law, First Lady, Senator for New York, a major player in politics for decades.
Long before she even became Secretary of State.
Exactly. And this book, Hard Choices, it's essentially her account, her defense maybe, of those 4 years as America's top diplomat. It really digs into America's role in, well, a very complicated world.
And the key thing I think that comes through is how foreign policy isn't straightforward. It's presented as this constant stream of really difficult, often ambiguous decisions.
Made with incomplete information, competing interests, all of that. She really emphasizes the push and pull between, you know, the ideals and the practical realities.
And it feels incredibly relevant still, wouldn't you say? The book tackles that big question, what is America's role after everything with Iraq, Afghanistan, the 2008 financial crisis?
Yeah, those huge shifts.
And she was right there, literally in the room, as the saying goes, when huge calls were made. That gives her view a lot of weight.
It's not theoretical.
Not at all. Plus, think about her travel record. One of the most traveled secretaries of state ever. She saw things on the ground, which must have shaped her perspective immensely.
Nearly a million miles, the book mentions. Incredible. Okay, so let's get into the core arguments of Hard Choices. The central idea seems pretty clear, right?
Yeah, it's that American leadership is, well, indispensable. That's the word she uses. Crucial for global security, stability, prosperity in the 21st century.
The strong stance.
Definitely. And the book then lays out the strategic thinking behind the Obama administration's foreign policy, at least from her vantage point.
So things like repairing alliances that were pretty strained at the time.
Exactly. And navigating huge crises like the Arab Spring, those uprisings across the Middle East.
Right.
And she introduces her concept of smart power, which isn't just a catchphrase. She means like intelligently using all the tools available.
So not just the military option.
No, definitely not just that. It's diplomacy, it's economic pressure, development aid, cultural influence, and yeah, military strength, but used carefully, strategically, choosing the right approach for the situation.
Which links back perfectly to the title, Hard Choices.
Yeah.
It really frames leadership as being about making those tough calls where, honestly, no option looks perfect.
Mm-hmm. Every path has risks, potential downsides.
That feels like a universal leadership challenge, really.
Absolutely. So before we dive deeper into those choices, maybe we should look at the person making them, her journey as the book lays it out.
Good idea. Yeah. Understanding her path helps frame her approach. So her formative years, we mentioned Yale Law, being a successful lawyer, then First Lady from 93 to 2001.
A very public role, obviously.
Hugely public. Then two terms as senator for New York, starting in 2001. You see this commitment to public service pretty early on.
And her Senate experience, especially being on the Armed Services Committee, must have been critical.
And experiencing 9/11 as New York's senator, the book touches on how deeply that affected her view of national security.
You can only imagine. And her background gave her this like multi-layered view of things, domestic issues, international affairs, all connected.
Yeah. Then there's the 2008 presidential campaign against Obama. The book is quite candid about that, right?
It is. It describes it as, you know, unsuccessful in terms of winning the presidency, but it absolutely cemented her as a major political figure.
A force to be reckoned with.
For sure. And the book actually kicks off with that very personal hard choice, deciding whether to accept Obama's offer to be Secretary of State.
Which must have been, well, quite something. Going from fierce rivals campaigning against each other
to becoming his loyal Secretary of State, that team of rivals idea. It's pretty remarkable when you think about it.
It really is. So her time as secretary, what does the book highlight as the big achievements, the key initiatives?
Well, there's the pivot to Asia, this strategic rebalancing, shifting American focus and resources towards the Asia-Pacific region.
Recognizing the rise of China, India.
Exactly. Then there were the big efforts on Iran's nuclear program, using sanctions, intense diplomacy.
Right. That was a constant focus.
Mm-hmm. And she championed this idea of 21st century statecraft, which meant seeing foreign policy as much broader than just government-to-government talks.
So things like economic tools, energy security.
Climate change, internet freedom, seeing all these as vital parts of foreign policy now.
And the book really emphasizes her focus on the rights of women and girls and LGBTQ plus individuals too.
Absolutely. A career-long commitment, she calls it. And she frames it not just as the right thing to do, but as a cornerstone of American foreign policy strategy.
So the book isn't just a chronicle. It's her articulating her strategic vision.
Yeah, very much so. It makes the case for her approach, presenting her as experienced, steady, capable, building that legacy as she sees it.
Okay, let's dig into that core philosophy a bit more. What are the fundamental beliefs driving the foreign policy described in the book?
Well, first and foremost, it's that idea of American leadership being indispensable. There's a quote she uses that sums it up perfectly. The world's most challenging problems can't be solved without the United States, and the United States can't solve them alone.
So rejecting going it alone, but also rejecting stepping back completely.
Exactly. It's this middle ground leadership, but collaborative leadership. Then there's smart power in action.
Yeah.
We touched on it, but it's really about integrating everything, diplomacy, defense, development aid, and choosing the right mix for each problem.
Not just defaulting to one tool.
Right. It requires flexibility, constant assessment. Another big theme is pragmatism. The book portrays her as guided by values, sure, but not rigidly ideological.
Meaning willing to compromise.
Yeah, willing to engage adversaries, make what she calls the least bad choices sometimes, just to make incremental progress in a really messy world. It's about what's achievable, not just what's ideal.
And you mentioned her travel. That ties into the personal side of diplomacy.
Definitely. She believes strongly in shoe leather diplomacy, just relentless person-to-person effort, spending hours building trust, building understanding, even with difficult people.
So relationships are key, even at that level.
Crucial, according to her account. And finally, there's that point about women's rights and human rights being strategically important.
Not just a moral issue, but a security issue.
That's the argument she makes, that societies oppressing half their people are fundamentally less stable, less secure. She has that famous quote, "The subjugation of women is a threat to the common security of our world and to the national security of our country. It's presented as a core strategic belief."
Those are powerful underlying principles. Let's see how they played out in specific moments. The book must highlight some key turning points, right?
Oh, absolutely. There are some really compelling stories that illustrate these hard choices in action.
Okay, give us one.
Well, let's go back to her accepting the Secretary of State job. The book really paints a picture of the context just off that incredibly tough primary campaign against Obama.
Emotions must have been raw.
You'd imagine so. And she frames accepting his offer as this deeply personal, hard choice. It meant transforming from rival to key partner.
Establishing that team of rivals.
Exactly. The book presents it as a major pivot in her career, putting, you know, service above the political fray.
Okay. What's another defining moment she recounts?
The raid on Osama bin Laden. The book gives this incredibly tense, minute-by-minute account from inside the White House Situation Room.
Wow.
Yeah, she describes the conflicting intel, the different opinions flying around among the advisors, the anxiety, and her own strong voice arguing in favor of the raid.
High stakes doesn't even begin to cover it.
Totally. The book holds it up as the ultimate hard choice, huge risks, potentially catastrophic failure, but also potentially historic success. It showcases her judgment, her willingness to back a risky but calculated decision.
Which in that case, obviously paid off. Okay, one more pivotal story.
How about the Chen Wancheng incident in China? This was really dramatic stuff.
I remember hearing about that, the blind activist who escaped house arrest.
That's the one. He sought refuge in the U.S. Embassy in Beijing right when Clinton was there for high-level talks, a potential diplomatic disaster.
Talk about pressure.
Immense pressure. The book details how she personally managed the crisis, trying to balance advocating for human rights with keeping the crucial U.S.-China relationship on track.
A real tightrope walk.
Absolutely. And she presents the outcome, securing his safety and getting him to the U.S. as a major success, a vindication of that principled but pragmatic statecraft.
Those stories really bring the challenges to life. So stepping back, what are the bigger human lessons we can take away from her experiences as told in Hard Choices?
Well, one thing that really stands out is resilience, professional resilience. Bouncing back from that tough primary loss to work effectively with her former rival, that takes something.
Putting the mission first.
Right. Putting the larger goal ahead of personal feelings or ego. That's a lesson that applies way beyond politics, doesn't it? In any career, any team situation.
Definitely.
What else? The whole book is kind of a study in making decisions under uncertainty, dealing with high stakes when you just don't have all the facts.
Which is most important decisions, really.
Pretty much. It teaches you the value of process, gathering different viewpoints, really debating the options, even when the information is incomplete. You might not get certainty, but you can make a more informed choice.
And her famous preparation, the briefing books.
Ah, yes. That meticulous preparation. It's a great reminder that success often boils down to doing the homework beforehand.
No substitute for hard work.
None. It's a universal lesson for anyone aiming for excellence, whatever field you're in. Put in the prep work.
What about the relationship side?
Her focus on personal diplomacy is key. It shows that building real rapport, finding ways to connect, even with people you disagree with, is crucial for getting things done.
Finding common ground.
Exactly. That's strategic relationship building. It's vital for collaboration, whether you're negotiating treaties or just working on a project with colleagues.
And finally,
that idea of principled pragmatism, sticking to your core values, but being flexible on how you get there.
Knowing when to adapt.
Right. Holding firm on ethics, but adapting your strategy to deal with the messy world as it is, not just as you wish it were. Trying for the best possible outcome, even if it's not perfect.
Okay, lots to think about there. As we start to wrap up this deep dive, let's try to boil it down. What are three final takeaways from the Acantra summary of Hard Choices?
Let's do it.
First, maybe an emotional insight. What feeling or appreciation do you leave with?
For me, it's a profound sense of the sheer complexity and the relentless pressure of that job. Foreign policy isn't abstract. It's making decisions with huge, real-world consequences, often imperfect ones, and having the courage to take responsibility for them. You feel the weight.
Yeah, the burden of those choices. Okay, second, an intellectual insight. What's a key strategic idea that stays with you?
It has to be the concept of smart power, not just as a mix of tools, but as this ongoing strategic process, knowing when to push, when to partner, when to hold back, all while operating from the belief presented strongly in the book that American leadership is essential.
The constant strategic calculation. And finally, a universal insight, something practical we can all apply.
I think it's the power of relentless person-to-person engagement. Diplomacy isn't just about big meetings. It's about building trust, showing up, listening, finding that human connection. That's fundamental to achieving anything significant with other people, in any setting, business, community, family. It all comes back to that personal effort.
Building rapport, even when it's tough. Great points.
So maybe a final question for you listening. Think about the hard choices you face, big or small. What lessons from this idea of pragmatic leadership or maybe resilience resonate most with you right now?
Something to definitely mull over. And that brings us to the end of our deep dive into the Acantra Dialogue summary of Hillary Clinton's Hard Choices. We hope this gave you some valuable insights into leadership, diplomacy, and navigating complexity. Thanks for joining us.
Join us next time for a new episode featuring another world-renowned individual, a new book, and a new idea that has shaped our world. This audio summary is brought to you by Acantra Foundation.